All of our messages are available on the website at andoverchristiancenter.org/weekly_media.html. So these, all the messages, it goes in reverse chronological order, so the most recent one is last or on top. So all the recent series are there. We just got done spending some time on how faith comes. We're going through and you can buy this, it's a Bible faith study course, but I preach from that a lot of times on Wednesday nights, and then there's ones on healing. And just, we go through them, not just paragraph on paragraph, I mean just the topics, and we just pull from it and, you know, sit where we need to sit and move on if we need to move on. And so we spent quite some time on how faith comes. And so we're going to move on tonight on what faith is. And we, of course, it overlaps some. You know, we talked about some different facets, and these things will go over it, but it doesn't hurt to hear these things. These are things that we need to hear continually. Your faith needs to be strong in order to go through life. You need to be built up on the inside. You need to be built up spiritually, because you are a spirit. You have a soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. Your body is going to go into the ground when you move on. Jesus didn't come back. We know this, we're closer than ever. Right? And now we're closer than we were just 2 seconds ago. We know that. But if, and I can't imagine this world just going on for another 50 years. I can't. 20's pushing in. I could get, you know, lower. The things that are ramping up and just the certain things, it is getting set up to be hell on earth if you're still here. We're going to get out of here. I firmly believe the Bible teaches, you know, because that's what's holding. If you took all the godly people out of the earth right now, it would go in a certain direction real quick. That's what's restraining right now. When that gets out of the way, you are going to have the tribulation. It's going to get really, really bad, because all you're going to have is godless people. And then there's going to be Christians that get saved after that. It's not going to be fun for them. But I don't plan on being here. But if Jesus were, if it took a while, and I, you know, I end up, you know, we'll all eventually die. If it takes another 100 years, we don't have anybody that's too young in here, but 120 years, everybody in here is going to be gone. But we need to, your body is going to go in the ground. Your body is going to decay. Okay, your body is just a high-tech machine that we get around in. That's all it is. And that'll help you when you think about bodily healing. You don't got to get caught up in, you know, legalistic things. You just got to keep the thing running. Yes, God's best is divine healing. God can heal you through his power, but it's not based on what he can do. It's based on what you can receive and what you can believe. If it was based on what he could do, well, everybody be healed. You know, he can fix your car without a mechanic. You could split your tire and get a bolt in it, and do you know the power of God could fix that thing? But I don't know, last time that happened to me, I took it to Midas. I didn't lay hands on my car. I don't have faith for that. God hasn't told me specifically in his word that I can believe that I could, you know, get my car fixed like that. But I tell you what, if I was in the middle of Alaska and driving and doing something God told me to do and something happened, well, you know, I'm going to pray, I'm going to get a word from God, and I'm going to go on. My family's not going to freeze, and I'm going to get to where I need to go. But that's a different thing, you know? So you don't need to get all caught up with your just, well, I just got to do it this way. This isn't my sermon, this is an introduction to where we're going. But we don't have to get caught up. People go, well, I got to, you know, gosh, I just know God wants to, he's promised me healing, so if I don't get it that way, if I don't get it through for just believing him, then you know, I failed. If I go to the doctor, it's a failure. No, it's not. Thank God for doctors. A lot of people would be dead without doctors. Not against doctors. And there's no shame. People get off in the weeds with all kinds of stuff. You know, what you need to do is you go and believe God and ask him what you should do, where you're at, and just keep your body running. I'm not saying, yes, the best, the highest and the best is to believe God for your healing, but you know what? It's not based on what he can do. It's based on where you're at. We have to be honest with where are we at and where is our faith at? Did I lose somebody there? You got to be honest with yourself. Where am I at? And what is he telling me to do? And what can I believe? And then I hook up with that and I go on and then I get it. And when you get it, when you, I'd rather get a hold of something small and get a victory than try to believe for something that's a home run and not get it. Where are we at? We need to be honest. But anyway, we said we're a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. So you are a spirit being, and we need to be fed. We need to be built up. And you need to have your faith. I need to have my faith built up. I need to be strong in faith, because this world will drain you of every sap, every bit of faith that you have. The world is not, when you turn on the TV, unless it's on certain stations, it is not singing God's praises. And not saying, there is a God in heaven, run your race for him. No, they're talking about all kinds of junk going on. As you get flip on the headline, they're telling you about all the junk, everybody, the crazy things people are doing. And if you look at that stuff too much, it's going to suck the faith right out of you. So what do you need to do? You need to fill up. You don't need to live on what you got. You know, I just stopped this morning. I had to get gas in my car. I could have gone. You know, I know in my car, the gas light comes on pretty early. So as soon as that happens, I reset the mileage, the trip odometer, so I know about how long I have, so I have to get to the gas. I know I got about 60 miles, you know, around there. So it was like at, 17, 18 going into, I work in Burlington, so I was like, I'm just going to pull over now and get my gas so I don't have to worry about it tonight. But I'm not driving off the gas I got 2 weeks ago. I mean, it ran out. I go through about a tank a week. So it runs out. Well, you know, you can't keep going on the thing you got a month ago or 3 years ago. I got this word, I'll never lose it. No, that's foolish. We need to keep being stirred up, keep being filled up. You need to keep your faith strong. That's why we continually teach on these things. You can't hear these things too much. We need to understand. We need to see and know and see what the word says. So we're going to be talking about what faith is, because a lot of people are confused about what faith is. Sometimes you look at what things are not, and you can kind of hone on what things are. So go ahead and turn over to Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. We'll start there. Hebrews 11, verse 1. All right, everybody there? Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, we've spent some time on that verse in different aspects. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. We've talked about that. That word substance means undergirding, or it's like the title deed. It's the foundation of things hoped for. And here, and when you see hope in the Bible, it means expectation. It means confident expectation. It doesn't mean like what we... Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the way most people use it, which is like wish. When people say hope, they don't mean confident expectation. But if you look it up in the dictionary, you'll see it'll have a definition like wish, like desire, I sure hope this happens. But there is a definition there, and this is what the Bible word means, is confident expectation. It means you expect something. So it's saying faith is the reason we're expecting something. It's the evidence of things that we don't see. It's the evidence of things you don't see. The reason the evidence that Jesus is the Son of God is because you believe something, you have faith. Because you weren't here. None of us were here when he walked the earth. And you haven't seen him in the flesh, but we believe. You believe the testimony of men in here. And of course, the witness of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Another translation, Moffat's translation says, now faith means we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. Another translation says, faith is giving substance to things hoped for. So we lay hold of the unseen realm through faith. But now here hope is used, I mean here when you see it in the Bible, it means expectation, it means confident expectation. But a lot of people are hoping in the sense of wishing, and they think they're in faith. And that's not faith. If you're wishing for something to happen, that's not believing, that's not what the Bible's talking about. That's faith. And that won't get you anywhere. Just because you need something, just because you desire something, does not cause God to move. Faith causes God to move. It's not that He has provided everything you're going to receive in Jesus. But what causes those things to flow into your life is believing that they're true and believing God. That sets it up. That's what faith is. Faith is trust in God. It's taking Him at His word. Now, we spent a whole lot of time talking about how faith comes, and you can't really talk about that to where you get into what we talk about, what faith is to a degree we have been. Because how faith comes is by the word, hearing the word of God. We talked about that in Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing His word. So you can readily see, faith is taking Him at His word. How you get faith is by hearing the word. You don't get faith by praying for it. You say, God, give me more faith. That's unscriptural prayer. Because how you're going to get it is by hearing His word. What are you going to hear? What He said about something. And if He said something, now faith is going to be there. Now you can choose whether you want to act on it or not. Choose whether you're going to believe. But faith is simply trust. Faith is just believing. Faith is just believing what God said. But it is not wishing. And there is not a trying to believe. People say, I'm just trying to believe this. I hope that this will come. See, when people say, I hope that God heard my prayer, they're not talking about, and we've spent some time on this before, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this tonight. Hope in the Bible is confident expectation. Just when you go through and read and you see hope, if you just substitute it with expect, it'll mean a lot more to you. Because when we say hope, we mean wish. Majority of the time. In our common language, we mean wish. But when you're wishing for something from God, if you're praying, but you're just really, I just hope God heard my prayer, and you use it like that, what you're really saying is, I really want something. I want this to be true. That is not faith. You say, but I really need it. That has nothing to do with it. That's not how you receive from God. Faith is how you receive from God. Faith is believing that what He said is true. And He is true to His word. Let's go ahead and turn over to Mark 11 real quick. We'll look at Mark 11, 23 and 24, and then we'll go on. God is true to His word. He is always faithful. Mark 11, verse 23, 24. Mark 11, verse 23, 24. Go back to verse 22. It says, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. See, when it says believe, believe means to have faith. To have faith is to believe. It's to trust. So when you read this, you see believe over and over, and that's faith. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. See, you believe that you receive them and then you'll have them. It didn't say if you need them very badly, then you'll have them. If you cry and beg God, then you'll have them. If you use your most pitiful voice and get down on your knees and go, oh God, you know how I've been suffering. You know how I need this. God, please answer my prayer. You're not going to do anything. You don't, because that's acting like God's withholding, and if you get over some, you know, notch of begging or pleading, then all of a sudden, boop, oh, petition granted. He used the right mix of groveling, you know, inflection in his voice. He was on his knees. God's not like that. God's true and he's fair, and how you receive from him is just taking him at his word. We're not trying to get God to do anything. God's not going to do anything he hasn't already decided he's going to do. See, some people get totally confused and think, oh, you're trying to twist God's arm. You're trying to tell him what to do. No, we're agreeing with what he already said he would do and taking him at his word. That's a different thing. So you don't wish for something to happen. That's not going to get the job done. Saying, well, I'll get something someday. Now I'm going to go over some of these things because I want to hit on the thing about the wishing part, okay? And some people have described that as hoping. It is hoping. But, you know, I've also talked to you guys, a lot of you, about being that hope means expectation. So we're not talking about Bible hope is expectation. And when we read Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It means faith is the foundation for which you expect something. See, that's right. I believe something, so I expect to see something. You watch, it's going to show up. See, that's good. That's expecting. Like a woman that's pregnant expects the baby to show up. Right? It's not, well, I sure hope so. I wish. No, the baby's growing and it's going to show up and it's just a matter of time. Right? Well, that's right. But there's a whole lot of people that are in this category of kind of wishing. And it's really in a mode of like begging God. And a lot of Christianity in the Christian world believe that if they beg and they go and they say their prayers, and it's like they're asking God over and over for the same thing, trying to get him to do something. And that's not faith. Okay? I'll spend a little bit of time here to start out. That's not faith. People say, and see, you can have, people say, oh, I have lots of faith. I believe God. Well, what they mean a lot of times is, I believe he's real. You can't convince me he's not real. Well, that is. It says you have to, it's impossible. If you come to God, you must believe that he is, Hebrews 11:6, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So yes, that's believing he is. But if you're believing for healing, or you're talking about healing, you may have zero faith for healing. You don't believe anything. You're asking, you're begging, you're pleading. You're saying, God, I need to be healed. Oh, you know, heal my whatever part of your body, or heal my system. And God, won't you touch my child? See, that's a completely unbelieving prayer. That's wishing. What is it based on? It's trying to get, if you listen to it, I'm not making fun, okay? I'm using this as an illustration. I'm talking about what is. I'm not belittling. We all are where we're at, okay? We all know what we know. You don't know what you don't know. So I'm not belittling anybody. I'm not saying, you know, people should know better. I'm saying the truth of God's word teaches differently. And wherever we are, we can come up. Okay? So when we're using examples, we're not saying, oh, poor fools. No, people could look at us, any one of us. None of us has arrived. Anybody want to stand up and say, I have, actually. I am. I'm there, really. You want to have any questions, come talk to me. I know it all. Well, okay. No. But we're doing, I'd say we're all doing the best we know how. Ought to be. I don't think anybody woke up this morning and said, you know, I'm going to see how many things I can do wrong today. I know better, but I'm just going to break every one of those things. I'm just going to mess up my life today. Huh? I don't think anybody purposefully wakes up like that, but you may be saying, I'm doing the best I can, but you make a mistake. Well, by the grace of God, we can live according to what he said, if we'll yield to him. So we're not saying anybody, just because people have are maybe believing like this, we're not making fun, we're not belittling. On the other hand, we need to know what is right and what's wrong according to the word. Because if something's not working, and it's not biblical, it's not going to get results. It's not working, why would we do it over and over? But people do religious things over and over and over just because they've done it. And they want different results. But it's not working. You know, once in a while, just by coincidence, something happened, and then people say, well, God decided to answer my prayer. It was his will. Well, that's religion. See, we don't have to search for his will. We can know what his will is because he gave it to us in the Bible. If he said something, then we can believe it because he's faithful to do what he said. Simple faith is just acting on what he said. But you're not acting on what he said if you're asking him and begging him to do something he already said he would do, and maybe he will do it someday. That's not faith. That's not praying in faith. That is wishing. And how we start getting results is actually moving into faith, believing that what he said, he meant, and he's faithful to do it, and start acting like it's true. That's a different thing. Faith believes now. It says it's true. It's now. Whatever God said, okay, I believe it, I have it. Like we just read in Mark 11, 24, he said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you do something now, that's believe, and then something happens. That is, the thing will show up. And these principles will work in the same in any area, regardless of what it is. If we know what the Bible says in a certain area, you find what God says about it, you act on that promise. So you got to get faith. To get faith in an area, this goes back to what we were teaching before, you have to hear the word in a certain area. Now, what is faith? It's taking that word and believing and acting like it's true. Now. Acting like it's true now. I'm going to read you, you know, like I said, this is a study guide Brother Hagin put out years ago, so some of these examples I'll use are his accounts, and I'll just read them. You know, I can try to paraphrase them, but it works better when I read them, because you get the detail. But to start out here, just want to read you this, and then we're going to go on. There's some other things we'll see. I remember I was conducting a tent meeting in Waco, Texas years ago. We started the revival on a Sunday night. I preached an evangelistic type message, and the next night I preached on faith. The next night we had our first healing service. I always put folks in the same line to receive healing or to receive the Holy Ghost. I preached on the laying on of hands, and then after giving the invitation for the lost, I laid hands on the sick to be healed and laid hands on believers to receive the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit.
he says Holy Ghost, which is King James. First, the very first man in the line came to receive the Holy Ghost. I said to him, Will you be filled with the Holy Ghost now as I lay my hands on you and pray? Now, we had this several weeks ago. We preached on being filled, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And if you didn't hear that, go listen to the message. It's what, 2-3 weeks ago on a Sunday, called the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I think. And it's there. Go through the scriptures. Talk a little bit about the benefits. That wasn't really my focus. But then just go through Acts and the examples. You realize all the apostles, Mary the mother of Jesus, they all spoke with other tongues. It says when they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we went through. The Apostle Paul says, I speak with tongues more than you all. Peter and John came to pray for some people, and they received. And then there was a couple other accounts. And we went through those scriptures. So if you, I'd go listen to the message. Don't take my word for it. Listen to what the Word of God says. But I told, as we were getting to where those scriptures were, I said, now when we're going to go through these scriptures in Acts, at the end, I'm going to have anybody that hasn't been filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's necessary. Jesus said, go, don't leave Jerusalem. And if you read the first part of Acts, he said, don't leave Jerusalem until you've been endued with power, until you receive the Holy Spirit. And the church world is, a lot of people say, either they preach against it, or they act like it's optional. Yeah. It's not optional. It's not optional. Jesus himself said, don't leave home without this. He had just risen, and he said, don't go start telling people about me until you've been endued with power, until you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of which is speaking with other tongues. How would you know? People say, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I just don't speak with other tongues. Not according to the Bible. And we went through those scriptures. So, but my point is, I said, you know, if you haven't been, come down, we're going to lay hands on you. And that's not the only way you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. But three of the five examples in Acts, they did lay hands on the people, and there's evidence that they were filled, they spoke with other tongues. So that is one way. In Cornelius' house, they were just preaching, and the Holy Spirit fell, and they started speaking their tongues. Nobody laid a hand on them. You don't have to be, but this is one method, just like it is to receive healing. So I had people come up, and 10 people came up, and 10 people received the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, so this is what Brother Hagin's describing here. But we said, now when I lay hands on you, you be ready. There's going to be the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. There's going to be something that is not English or not your native tongue. Because, you know, not everybody speaks English, and so I can't tell. But that's going to come on you, and you just yield to it. You speak it out. But you got to go into that ready. It's coming on me. I'm going to speak it out, because people have gotten in their head that I've tried, or with healing, I've tried. And so then this is exactly, and this is what Brother Hagin's describing here, where people get in the mode that I sure hope something will happen. What they mean is not biblical help, hope. They're not saying, I fully expect to be filled. What they're saying is, man, I wish this would be the right time. You know, just if God will come through. Because I've tried before. Man, I hope I'll be healed. What are they? They're just looking. They're just kind of standing back in spectator mode going, I hope something happens when you lay hands on me. That they don't believe. And that's, you'll see the difference. This is what I want to get over to you. There's a difference. You can see this here. Now listen. So, same situation. So he's having people come up to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be healed. And he was taking time to minister to them. The very first man came in line to receive the Holy Ghost. Brother Hagin asked him, will you be filled with the Holy Ghost now as I lay my hands on you and pray? It's a very definite thing. Will you? Is this going to happen, in other words? And he said, Brother Hagin, I sure hope I will. And Brother Hagin said, then you won't be. He said, that sort of made him angry. I meant that to help him, not to anger him. So I immediately said to him, you don't receive anything from God through hope. Now he's talking about hope like wish. It's by faith that you receive. Isn't that what we read in Mark 11:20? It's by faith you receive. He said, I don't know whether I'm going to be receive or not, so I'm not going to say I am. I'm not going to say I am. See, a lot of people are there. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I am or not, so I'm not going to say it. Well, that's not faith. You don't believe then that the word's true. Because you don't know. And you're going by sight. He said, I don't know if whether I'm going to receive or not, so I'm not going to say I am. I said, if I offered you a dollar bill, would you say, I don't know whether I can receive that or not? I don't have a dollar bill up here, but I don't need one. Here, so Brianna, if I were to say, I'm giving this to you, what would you do? I'm not giving it to you. This is my phone, but you can hold it.
Yes.
If I were to say, here, what do?
Take it.
You just take it. Now, did you have any doubt that you could take it?
No.
You just took it. That's all that means. That means when you believe you receive, that means you believe you take. You just take it. Say, well, yeah, I'm going to take it. Do it again. Are you trembling now? Are you not sure that you can take it? I'm just saying, hey, Brianna, take this. Here, it's here. I've already provided it. Here. So is that hard? That's all it is when you're receiving from God. But see, people go, you can hold it. They're saying, I don't know. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can do it. I sure hope I can get it. I sure hope I can. And God's just holding it out. You know what faith says? Yeah, I can take it. I got it. Here I got it. That's receiving just means to take. Now you believe, it says in Mark 11:24, it says, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. We'll repeat. I believe I receive. It says, I believe I receive. When you receive, now you can't just take something, but in the spiritual realm, believing is faith. How is it that you receive? You believe you receive. Now, what if you don't see it? Well, that's okay. I believe I have it. See, that's faith. He said, so if I offered you a dollar bill, would you say, I don't know whether I can receive that or not? No, certainly not. He said, well, I said, God offers you a gift that is just as easy to receive as it is to receive a dollar bill offered to you. He said, yes, but I've been seeking a mighty long time. In fact, I've been seeking about 13 years and I haven't received it. See, people got in this mode, Pentecostal circles, about trying to receive the Holy Spirit, and they'd go and they'd tarry, they'd call it. And they're trying to get it. What they're going up there, they're trying to get it, but they're not, it's not that, it's not hard. You just look at what the Word says and you act on it and say, okay, here we go, and you receive it. It's not hard. People make it hard in their heads, but it's not hard. Neither is healing. It's not hard. He said, yes, but I've been seeking a mighty long time. In fact, I've been seeking about 13 years and I haven't received yet, so I don't know whether I'm going to receive or not. He became quite upset about it, so I just reached out and put my arms around him and hugged his neck. I said, now, brother, I'm here to help you, but under the circumstances, I could lay my hands on your head until I wore every hair off the top of your head, and you wouldn't get anything. So I just suggest that you sit down on the front row and listen and watch and see what's going on. Then you'll see the difference between believing and doubting, between faith and hope. So we prayed for several people for healing, and then we came to a young woman who wanted to receive the Holy Ghost. I said, are you a Christian? Well, she said, I'm a member of a church. I said, you understand that you could be a member of any church and not be a Christian. Salvation is not a matter of being a member of a church. It's a matter of being born again. Yes, she said, I know that, but I've been born again. I accept your testimony, I said. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Then I asked her, now then, do you believe in the Holy Ghost? Having come out of the same denomination myself, I knew everyone in that denomination didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues? I certainly do, she answered. It is in the Bible. It's in the Word. Then I asked, will you receive the Holy Ghost now when I lay my hands on your head and pray? She said, I certainly will. She had her Bible in her hand and she said, you know, I sat there tonight and followed every scripture you gave as you preached. It's all in the Word and I certainly will receive. Now you see the difference? Why is she certain? Because she believes what the Bible said. And she's going to do what the Bible said. Well, I just don't know if I'll receive. No, you don't believe the Bible yet. See, that's not faith. And this is why certain things won't work. It's right here. So she had her Bible in her hand and said, you know, I sat there tonight and followed every scripture as you preach, and it's all in the Word. I certainly will receive. And I saw she was ready because I saw her faith in operation. So I just reached out my hand to lay on her forehead. And before I even touched her, I just barely brushed my fingers on her forehead. She threw up both hands and started speaking in tongues instantly. I said to this older gentleman who was sitting on the front row, do you see the difference between just hoping? Now he's using hoping as in wish. You'll receive the Holy Ghost and really believing you'll receive. He said, yes, I do. On Friday night, he came back, and he was the very first person in the line. Well, I said to him, I see you're back. Yes, he said, I'm back, and I'll tell you something else. I've changed from wishing or hoping to faith. Just put your hands on me, and I'll be filled with the Holy Ghost right now. I reached out my hands to lay my hands on him, and I barely touched him when he lifted both hands and began to speak with other tongues. See, when you're believing and not just wishing something would happen, not just hoping in that sense, then things work. Now, really quick, I wanted to get this in, but just in closing, you're in Mark 11, go over to Mark 5. I want you to see the same type of thing in the Word here. Mark 5... Verse 24, we're going to look at this real quick, maybe pick up here next week, but I wanted to get this in. Mark 5, 24, y'all there? It says, so Jesus went with him. This is Jairus, so he's going with another man, but there's two stories mingled here, but... Verse 24, when Jesus went with him, a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, she was saying this to herself, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Do you see that? Is that a wishy-washy statement?
No.
She said, if I touch him, I'll be made well. I will, and that's what she's saying to herself. She said, if I touch him, I'm going to be made well. What's her point of contact? She just wants to touch Jesus. And then that power flowed from her, from him, and she was healed. So look quick. Verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? So notice that there's people hitting him on all sides, yet he knew when somebody touched him with what? Faith. Believing something would happen, and he could sense it. He could sense that power going out from him and it healed her. Now, there's other people bumping into him. They're not being healed. It's not magic. What activated it? Faith. Faith. This didn't happen to everybody. It's not Jesus because he's the magic son of God. No, he was operating as a man. He is God, 100% God, 100% man, but he is operating as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. So when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. He didn't do any miracles before that. But now people were coming to him in faith. Yes, he did. There were certain things he did that were just gifts of the Holy Spirit, just like there are today. But in this case, she came to him in faith, touched him, and the power flowed. Verse 31, his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your what? Faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Notice that. He did not say, "I'm the Son of God. I knew you were going to come. It's just in my infinite mercy." No. He said, "Your faith. You believed," and you can see that she believed because she said, "If I touch him, I'm going to be made well," right? She believed. She didn't say, "Well, I'm going to see if this works." She didn't do that. She said, "Man, if I touch him, I'm going to be made well." And guess what? She touched him. That, what caused the power to flow into her when all these people are bumping in to him? Faith. Faith causes the power to flow. Faith causes what Jesus has already provided to be manifest in our lives. Not begging, not wishing, not crying about it. No, none of that is faith. It's saying, "God, you said it, I believe it. Now when I pray, it's done and go." Or when I have hands laid on me or whatever the point of contact is. That's faith. All right, we're just getting into it, but that's the intro. Amen.